Welcome to The Millionaire's Lawyer, where you'll hear leading professionals share expert advice on how to grow your business and sell it for maximum profitability. If you want to learn lawyer-proven strategies for building and exiting your business, then this is the podcast for you. Your host, J.P. McAvoy, is a business lawyer, college professor, and best-selling author who has been assisting clients start, grow, and sell their businesses for millions of dollars for over 15 years. Will yours be the next? Now here's your host, J.P. McAvoy.
Happy to have you here with us today, and we've got a special show for you. End of school episode, if you will. We have a young entrepreneur with us here. I'll give him a chance to introduce himself. What's your name, young one?
Jack.
Jack. And what's your last name, Jack?
McAvoy.
Yes, Jack McAvoy. My son. And Jack, how old are you?
I'm 10 years old.
10 years old. And you've just, I guess, finished school, right? What grade did you finish?
Grade 4.
How did you enjoy it? Did you have a good school
year? Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously a slightly different year this year because it kind of ended up with
coronavirus.
Yeah, coronavirus. Yeah, so what happened for school? What happened for school for you? How did that work out?
It wasn't really as fun when we did it at home. It was also a lot harder to concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
So that made the assignments harder, but there were less assignments, and I really missed my friends.
I'm sure you missed your friends, Jill, as well, yeah. And it's hard, obviously, working from home or being from home as much as we have. We'll obviously get back, I guess, for the new year as well, or for the new school year, we'll probably be back to a new sense of normal as well. What were some of your favorite courses, or what was your favorite course at school?
Probably math.
Why math? What do you enjoy about math?
It's just fun to do, solving problems.
Yeah, it's just the course you've enjoyed the most, right?
Yeah.
And we've got you on the show here today because, among other things, you've written a book as well, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the name of your book?
Do Babies Have Superpowers?
Do Babies Have Superpowers. Now, where did the idea for that come from?
Rose, my little sister. She's 1.5 years old.
Oh, yeah. So you see your 1.5-year-old sister, and do you imagine she has superpowers? Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when we were in Florida for vacation last March, In the morning when we were cuddling with her, she would always make us yawn. So I came up with the idea of the yawnster, and the book just hatched from there.
And the book went from there. Okay, so that's actually very interesting. You had a thought or an idea, and you decided this could actually be a book or turn itself into a book, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so what happens in the book?
Babies have superpowers, and we talk about Babyville in the book, which is their world, and in Babyville, they go there at night once you've fallen asleep. So, once you've fallen asleep, the people in Babyville wake up and they have a supercomputer that can do 10 trillion calculations per millisecond.
10 trillion calculations. That's a super powerful computer, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that computer allows things to run in the...
Yeah. And that's what controls all the buses, all the buildings, all of the workers, all of that stuff goes to the supercomputer.
Okay, so
and even the management of money.
So everything's run through there, including the management of money. And how do they use money in Babyville?
Hush cards. It's kind of like a credit card sort of thing.
Uh-huh. And how does that work?
They swipe it once to pay and swipe it again to confirm.
Okay, so to confirm what's actually going on with the transaction?
Yeah.
And what kind of things did they buy and sell there?
You know, food, shelter, sweet rides.
All the essentials, all the good things you want. So they spend time there. They obviously live there for part of their lives. When do they come back to the world as we know it? When do they come back to us?
The reason why babies don't want to wake up is because when you wake the baby up, it's taking them away from Babyville, which is their haven.
So they want to be in Babyville. Yeah. They prefer to be in Babyville.
Yes.
They enjoy their time there. And so when do they eventually leave Babyville? Obviously when they wake up, but is there an age when they're no longer able to go there?
It's at 2 years old.
At 2 years old, that's enough. So I guess the span of the book or for the book itself, you're describing sort of the first 2 years of a baby's life. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, that's a wonderful book. So I've obviously been through the book with you and the book experience. You have plans to publish the book, right?
Yes.
Book will be published. And I guess we'll talk us through the process there you've seen so far.
So first we had to write the book.
Mm-hmm.
And second, we had to edit it for corrections and, like, come up with a conclusion because it wasn't really coming together as a conclusion very well. And once we printed it on a piece of paper, then we had to draw the photos. And then we had to go to Amazon, Kindle, and publish it from there, which takes a lot of work and effort.
Yeah, and so that gets the book published, right? So the book will be available. We'll put that in the show notes for the episode here. As the book becomes available for sale, it will be available on Amazon. And I guess we'll put some links through the show, and maybe we'll put them on the website as well, jpmcavoy.com, for anybody interested in seeing that. And of course, what's the name of the book if people are interested in
Do Babies Have Superpowers?
Do Babies Have Superpowers? That's right. So that's wonderful. You've obviously written a book as a young 10-year-old. What other kinds of things do you want to do as you grow?
I want to create inventions and start a science YouTube channel like Mark Rober.
Oh, okay. So tell me more about Mark Rober. We've watched a few episodes, but what is his story? How does he put those together?
So he was a worker at NASA for, I'm pretty sure, 4 years or 9 years. And then he retired and he started making videos on different science and engineering ideas, like how to make a winning mousetrap car, making the largest Nerf gun, and also the largest super soaker.
So he's obviously quite creative himself, and he uses some of his engineering experience, first through school and then through NASA, to develop, I guess, super toys, right? Then he shows the world how he goes about making them, right?
Yes. He also made a Ninja Warrior for squirrels, and that was a hilarious video.
What was so funny about it?
It's just so funny to see the squirrels do the obstacle course.
So he's taking the squirrels through, I guess, a series of contraptions that he's built, right?
Yeah, to get to their walnuts, which are their favorites.
So to get to the walnuts, and I guess he makes observations as he's building this. What kind of observations does he make about squirrels?
He makes an observation that squirrels are very good jumpers, and they can climb up and down vertically unless there's like a slippery paint, which he put on the final poles, so they have to start at the beginning.
And work themselves through the whole the whole obstacle course. He's obviously very creative, and he's turned that into a business himself, hasn't he? He's an entrepreneur himself who created a business around just that, hasn't he?
Yes.
And you can imagine doing something similar yourself, or you'd like to do something similar like that yourself?
Yes. Kind of, although we probably don't have the resources, so it would probably be a little more basic.
Well, what do you imagine then? I mean, I imagine he started sort of basic as well and built it up. That's what people do for business.
Yes.
So how would you start yours, or what would your beginning be? What are some of your ideas for a YouTube channel or a business you're building?
Maybe filling up a balloon with smoke and seeing how it rises and falls.
Well, that's interesting. What do you think would happen if you filled a balloon with smoke?
I think it would probably rise because smoke is hot air, pretty much. And hot air goes up compared to cold air. So I would think it would float, and
there's the experiment right there, right? Or that's part of it. So you can imagine it having a show or something similar to what Mark Rober's done. Is that what it is?
But. And also another idea is making weight-powered cars. So, like, there's a pulley and there's a weight, and the weight is at the top of the pulley. And when you drop the weight, the string on the pulley will spin an axle with a wheel attached, and that will make the car go.
Have you seen something like this before, or is this just something you're envisioning?
Something I'm envisioning, although I have seen mousetrap cars and Pinewood Derby cars.
Right, so something similar. So you're imagining or thinking about building something that would be similar to that, and I guess putting it on maybe your own show or developing your own show that would explore things such as this, right?
Exactly.
Any thoughts about what you'd call the show?
No, not really.
Yeah, so it needs to be built out more. Like anything else, building a business or thinking through the ideas and building them out. But you've looked at Mark Rober's, what's his show called, or is that what it's actually just called, is Mark Rober?
It's just called Mark Rober.
Okay, and have you seen anything similar to him that you're looking at as comparables?
Yes, I've seen The Backyard Scientist, which does more experiments with different materials and metals and stuff like that, but it's still pretty cool.
Those would be the two that you think of or that come in right away. Right? Oh, interesting. So clearly there's a lot of people building businesses like that right now. I know he gets millions of views. Actually, you probably know better. How many people watch these shows or how many people are downloading these episodes?
His record, the highest I've seen, is 54 million views.
54 million views for one episode, right?
Yeah.
And he's doing these. How often is he doing the episodes?
Once a month because it takes him much longer to create and film than stuff like gaming videos, which you just press the record button and then you play the game and then you stop the recording and edit it. He actually had to build something, which takes weeks usually.
Yeah, he's investing a lot more in it. We've talked about that. That's actually one thing we've talked about, because I don't understand the attraction. I mean, he clearly does a lot of work, and there's something to be learned from. He's entertaining, and there's something to be learned from each of his episodes. That's one thing I've never understood. Why are people watching these shows of people that are just playing video games? What's the attraction to that? Why are so many kids watching those?
I don't know. It just is really entertaining. Mm-hmm. So I think kids really like it. Mm-hmm. But Mark Grober is like just as entertaining, and his videos are actually informative. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And it's interesting. So as a lawyer, I think I've mentioned to you before, I mean, I have a couple of clients that are YouTube stars, people that have done shows, and they're making a lot of money by the content they're creating. And it's clever. The work they're doing as well is clever. And they're doing it for their audiences and as a job, actually. So it's interesting. These are creating jobs for people and people that are able to earn a living doing these types of things. So there's certainly a future in that type of work for people if they wish as well. For you, what kind of things do you think you'd be doing as a job in the future?
Maybe engineering. Mm-hmm. And I think the science YouTube channel for me is just going to be for fun.
Right. So it's for fun, maybe even as you're going through school or something like that as well and developing that yourself. And so you think perhaps engineering in some shape or form. What kind of engineer do you imagine?
Maybe mechanical, electrical, or aeronautical are probably what I think I'll do.
And why do you think that?
I just find those really cool.
Mm-hmm. And how have you been able to learn about them? Have you been reading at all about those?
I've been watching documentaries, mm-hmm. like the F-22 and F-117 and the F-35.
What's special about that, the F-35?
It's a jet that is stealthy and it can lift vertically.
Oh, it has the ability to lift vertically as well?
Yeah.
Pretty amazing engineering to have something like that occur, isn't it? And so you're obviously interested in seeing or thinking about the different engineering that goes into these types of things and imagine working on things like that someday yourself in the future.
Yeah, it would be really cool to do that.
Yeah, it would be really cool, wouldn't it? Now, what do you think it'll take to get there?
Very hard work.
Yeah, hard work. I guess school. And obviously, you have the math, and it's great that you're interested in the math. And then I guess probably a lot of school. Where do you imagine or what do you think school will look like for you in the future?
Maybe physics and engineering. And lots of other things, because if you need to make something, that if you're trying to make a jet, you might need to look at like a bird or something and figure out from there.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Again, observing, right? And then learning about how things are being done and then maybe creating or thinking about ways of doing them even better in the future.
Exactly.
It'd be interesting to see what the future looks like for all that. And it'd be interesting to listen back to this episode someday and see how this has all turned out. In the meantime, you've been doing a lot of reading, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you just finished a book and you're in the midst of another one right now. What book did you just finish?
I finished Dragon Assassin. It's a fantasy novel where at assassin school, someone named Carmen lost an eye in Blade's training when she was 13, and they graduate at 16, and she's about to graduate when her brother Corwin teams up with the Emperor and tries to kill all assassins except Carmen. He tries to let her live, but she thinks that that's horrible for him to do.
Well, it does sound pretty horrible. Is that a child-friendly book that you're reading?
Yeah, it's meant for kids.
It's meant for kids? Yeah, wow.
Because the Hunger Games is meant for kids, and it's not as brutal as the Hunger Games.
That's interesting. Yeah, you're mentioning the Hunger Games as well. I know you started, and you found that was a little bit too violent, right?
Yeah, I finished it, and it's a little too violent.
Did you read the whole Hunger Games? Did you finish the whole book? You did, right? And that's the first of, how many books are in that series? Do you think you'll read the others there, or do you think that's...
I don't think I will until I'm a little bit older,
right, when it's more appropriate. And, which is good. I mean, you do a lot of reading, and reading is so important for learning as well as you continue your education. You're describing a couple of books you just read, and now you're in the midst of
a book called Jinx.
Jinx, right? Yeah.
It's about the future where there are Bakus, which is basically a pet robotic animal that can do your functions of a smartphone.
So the pet can do all the same functions as a smartphone? That'd be a pretty nice pet to have around, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So you're just getting into that book, and how long is the book?
I'm not sure. Probably more than 300 pages.
More than 300 pages, yeah. Well, that's great. You're doing a lot of wonderful reading. You're about to begin summer vacation right now as well, right? So you'll enjoy some reading over the summer vacation. What else do you hope you'll enjoy?
Going to the cottage we're going today.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be heading up to the cottage today and hopefully spending some time on the boat and...
Tubing.
That's right. We enjoy doing all of that. Well, Jack, thank you for being on the show. So happy to have you here and to hear some of the things that you enjoy and some of the things that you're doing and maybe some of your plans for the future. If anybody's interested in seeing the book, as I say, we'll put it all in the show notes so people can grab a copy of that. And perhaps we'll be reading or looking at some of Jack's engineering inventions in the future. Right, Jack?
Hopefully.
Hopefully. That's great. Thanks so much for being on the show today, and we'll see you next time on The Millionaire's Lawyer.
Thanks for listening to The Millionaire's Lawyer. Please subscribe and rate on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. To get your business millionaire assessed and to access the wide variety of resources that we offer in addition to this podcast, go to jpmcavoy.com. That's jpmcavoy.com.